I'm reading these Amazon movie reviews.
Tell me about your Amazon movie reviews.
Alright,
so... Are they written by actual Amazons?
No, they're written by actual idiots.
Okay, idiots pretending to be Amazons?
Yeah. So this one is for the Star Wars A New Hope. And I gave it a 1-star rating with the title, The Phantom Menace Was Better.
Okay, hang on. One second. So, I don't know why, but when you started to tell me about these Amazon reviews, I thought of, like, Warrior Women.
No.
Amazon. And I'm trying to figure out why. It's not my fault. That's where my head went first. I didn't think about Amazon.com until I'm like, can Amazon women even read and write? And then it's like Amazon.com. I'm like, oh, I bet those are the reviews that he's talking about.
God.
Yes. Gotcha. Go ahead. Tell me.
So yeah, it says, The Phantom Menace was better. This movie was the worst by far. There was only one lightsaber fight, and they didn't even do any spins and stuff. That was the review of the entire movie.
Well, he's probably... I mean, facts. They were
right.
Facts.
This is the other one. It's got a... We're straight out of Compton. They gave it a 1-star rating, and it just says, I'm 86.
Right?
Well, movie probably wasn't for you then.
It's probably fine. Probably mixed up.
Oh, I love these things.
Yeah, sometimes people aren't good at things.
Like thinking.
Well,
Or breeding.
They're probably excellent at breeding. That's the problem. That's probably the one thing they know how to do. Anyway, hi, Samus. He's Travis. This is an episode of Two Trolls and a Brew. Episode 37, I believe.
Probably.
Currently being titled Immercool Revealed. I'm taking this new out, buddy. Sorry.
All right. Well,
and Christodicophobia is simultaneously the best and worst card in Standard. That is a stupidly long subtitle today, Travis.
Good.
Okay. Troll cards of the week. Avon Riftwatcher. This is one of my favorite cards of all time. And apparently it is crushing people in the Eternal Masters drafts.
I forget what that one does.
It is a 2/6 flyer for a white and two.
Say a 2/6?
Sorry, 2/3 flyer.
I'm going to say dang.
For a white and two.
Okay, what's it do?
And it's a has vanishing three, right? So each upkeep it loses a counter. And when it has no counters, you sacrifice it. When it enters or leaves the battlefield, you gain 2 life.
Okay.
You can see why this is my card, right? Like,
I see why it's your son's card.
Well, it goes with the Momentary Blink deck, Travis.
Yeah, but it also goes with life gain.
I mean, not really. Like, a little bit. Like, you gain 4 life out of it. It's like a Kitchen Finks.
Yeah, see, there you go. Plus, it has flying and more toughness. Significantly better.
But if you run something like White Mane Lion or Momentary Blink or Cloud, now you're gonna make me turn around and look at the cards in this pile. No, the cards in this pile. Hey, you know what?
Also Restoration Angel.
Restoration Angel's one of them. Cloud something or other. What is the
Cloud Shift?
Cloud Shift, thank you.
Yep.
Oh, it's in this pile. Jeez, I have too many bloody piles of cards over here. There it is, right there. See? Boom, found it. No one can see it. Oh, did it. All right. Anyway, so yeah, there's a... I like it. It's one of my favorite cards from Time Spiral. And yes. They reprinted it there, and it's just crushing people. So, ha, 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 ha.
No, I mean, life gain is a real threat.
Well, I mean, it's not just the fact that it gains you 4 life. But that it is a 2/3 flyer. Like, yeah, it's got vanishing 3, so it's going to die relatively quickly. You're not going to get a bunch of attacks in on it. but just a little bit of action and you can make it do a lot of work.
Right.
So, anyway, so that's my troll card. Travis, I'm not guessing your troll card of the week.
No, you have to guess it.
I'm not guessing it.
You have to. That's why I wrote that.
Is there a stubborn troll somewhere in the card list? If I go to gather and look for stubborn troll, is it going to show up?
No, you just have to take a guess.
I did. Stubborn troll.
No. It's part of the title.
It's part of the title?
Yeah. What's the card?
Is it Immercool?
No.
Simultaneously?
No.
Revealed?
What? Oh, no.
Travis is just looking at me. I'm switching you over to the main camera for a minute. Ed. You're like,
do it, guess.
I'd like to have a conversation with me. Fine, trichophobia.
You're wrong. It's Bearer of Silence.
Okay. Well, that makes more
sense. Also, I'm a liar. It's not in the title at all.
Okay, Bearer of Silence. Which one's that?
That's the 2-1 flyer for 2. It's Eldrazi that flies, and it's colorless, and it can't block. And when it comes into play, you can pay an additional 1 and colorless, and target opponent sacrifices a creature.
It's got flash too, doesn't it?
No. It can't. If it had flash, it would be blue.
Okay.
But yeah,
I can.
So that card, well, at least in the deck that I was playing, was a complete sleeper with cards that couldn't be targeted, and it just kind of, took games away from people unexpectedly, and that's why it's my troll card. I know.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. I thought this one that did the sacrifice thing had flash, but I guess not. You don't have to be blue to have flash. I mean, the flash.
No, but with all those abilities.
The flash is red, dude. So I don't understand why.
The flash is blue and white.
No, flash is red. Red and gold.
No, haste is flash, or haste is red. Flash is typically.
I don't think I know any superheroes called Haste.
No, but you do know one named Flash, and he's yellow.
No, he's red. He's red and gold.
No, he's yellow. Very yellow.
Oh boy, those are our troll cards of the week. I don't know. Do you have a story around yours, or?
Well, I was playing Mono Black Control, and.
Were you obviously, you had Bear of Silence in the deck?
I had two Bear of Silence. It's not mono black. Huh?
Colorless. It's not mono black. It's colorless.
That's close enough. I mean, no deck is truly monocolored because your lands don't create, or your lands aren't technically colors, so. Yeah, exactly. But no, I was playing Mono Black Control with Triskaidek Phobias and Remorseless Punishments because, well, I mean, they're great cards and nobody expects them to win. But, yeah, there was one game I was playing where I attacked with a Reality Smasher, took the dude down to 15, and then the next turn I played Remorseless Punishment, and he's like, what does that card even do? So I let him read it, and he goes, and he looks at his hand for a little bit. He looks at his board, and he looks at his hand, and he goes, all right, well, I guess I'm down to 5. And I'm like, yes. And then next turn, he did something. And then on my following turn, I played Remorseless Punishment, and he goes, ah, damn it, man. And he just scoops.
Well, I mean, if you can cast two of that card, it puts somebody so far behind they can't really do anything.
Right.
So, yeah, no, sounds like good times. I don't know. I would have to play something like that. I spent this week playing the Esper pack deck.
Yes.
I went 1-3.
Oh, wow. You're awful.
I lost to Terry, who Terry is this young man who kind of excels in playing things a little bit off the wall. I would say he's definitely like a brewer, except they continuously brew around the same three things, like aggro and mill and aggro. Like, I really can't think of a time that they slid something else in their little bulwark.
Right.
Like, he has like this really aggressive werewolf deck that he plays, and he has this mill deck, which is what he was playing this weekend. Well, I didn't have a sideboard, and he sideboarded in up to like 12 or 14 discard spells or something.
Jeez.
That basically hits my whole hand. So, like, even though I won game one, he just was able to, like, completely destroy. Because neither one of us were running creatures, really. So he was able to take out the majority of his creature removal spells for discard and counter spells. And I didn't have a sideboard, so I couldn't do anything. So my creature elim just sat in my hand as dead cards. So lesson, even if you're just playing a deck for funs and giggles, you should probably build a sideboard.
No. All in, all the time.
Right. So anyway, yeah, he just kind of ran me over the next couple of games with all this discard stuff. And then, let's see, who else did I play? I don't remember who else I played, but I was able to win one of the three games every go. It's just, you know, on the draw or whatever, things got a little complicated for that deck. And if you couldn't find the right spell, it was really hard to get through. Like, I played the white red human deck, like the really fast one.
Yep.
And I mulliganed to six, and my hand was like three tap lands and or maybe it's four tap lands. I forget. I think it's four tap lands and two languish. And I knew that I had to be able to cash languish on turn four or I was dead. So I had to scry a untapped land to the top of my deck, even though I already had four lands in my hand. And I was right, because on turn three, he hit me for 9 points of damage. And I was like, okay, because he had the bushwhacker. So he's like, nope. So he played a one drop, he played a two drop. And then on turn three, no, that's not even right. He played a two drop on turn two. It got him an extra land, I guess. The Knight of the White Orchard, which put him to four lands. So he played another like two drop or whatever. And then on the next turn, on turn three, he went one drop, kicker out the other guy and attacked for like nine. So then I languished because I'm like, all right, well, I know I have to languish on turn four. So I languished and I thought that would basically be it, but he was able to play another one drop and kicker out the guy again and attack for like another nine. So then I languished again on turn five.
Jeez.
And
why
then
does he even have a hand?
He didn't. I think he had like one more card left in his hand. The problem was is that one more card was another aggressive creature or something. And because he had the clues.
No.
So it took a couple of turns, but he was able to draw into some more action. And I got to the point in the game where we were kind of making these, we were going back and forth, but it just got to a position where I really had to get a pack or something. And he was just able to keep pressure on. So, I mean, there were some good games. There was a lot of play in it. I had a lot of fun playing the deck, but it did not play out as well as I would have liked. So I could use something like this mono black control list and give it a try.
Want me to send you my list?
Sure, why not? Do it.
All right.
Then I'll have Remington be all angry as he's like, I don't want to put a deck together. If you're not helping.
He doesn't want
what? He gets angry when he has to gather cards and find cards for a deck. Like, I sit here for a long time and put a deck list together. You can pull the cards out of the binder and put them together in a stack of 60.
Right.
You can figure it out. So, I don't know. Anyway, no, I'll take a crack at it. Seems like it'll be fun.
It definitely is.
I also got to do a little bit more of my modern playtesting.
Okay.
I still really like this Eldrazi and Taxes deck. I think from the playtesting I did this last weekend, I lost like one game, I think, out of probably like a dozen I played.
Nice.
So I still need a little bit more tweaking here and there to like figure out some of the numbers, and I still don't have a good sideboard, and I haven't had a lot of emails about it. So if you have a suggestion, I'd love to see your suggestions for the black white death and taxes in modern. Anybody out there? Anybody? Is this thing on?
Hello.
Okay.
Is anybody out
there? Let's see in tournament news.
Was boring at the Legacy.
Yeah, we had a couple of Legacy tournaments. I don't know. I'm a little bit more excited for Legacy than I have been. Not like crazy more excited, but a little bit. Mostly in the fact that I would really like Legacy to take off and skyrocket the value of these Legacy cards.
Right. I don't know.
The Storm winner and I guess an Infect winner. If that means
shocking.
Poisoning.
Like whenever I watch something, I try and watch SCG events. Okay. Again, because you know they're more entertaining and they talk about other things other than Magic while they're waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, because like Cedric Phillips, you know, he's from Ohio, so he's a huge Cleveland fan. So a few times during the show, he was talking about the NBA Finals. So, I mean, that was right. kind of a break from just seeing, you know, cards being played. But no, I definitely like watching SCG events more than I do Wizard events.
Well, again, keep in mind, SCG events are there to advertise SCG.
Yeah,
and by SCG, Star City Games, just for those who may not know. And they're there to actually televise the tournament as like a like somebody calling a football game or whatever. Like they're designed more around that kind of feel than Wizards of the Coast, which is more of like a multiple day ad for their cards.
Mm-hmm.
So they do different things. It's just, you know, like, I don't know. They accomplish different goals. It's just how they're built around the different focus. So I understand why you like the SCG. I prefer the Wizards events just because I like the high quality of the event that they cast. SCG has gotten a lot better, and as they get more experience, I think they will definitely surpass the quality, no problem. But
I think they already do.
I mean, I don't know. It's there's probably a argument for that, but you know, Wizards has a huge budget with equipment, and for the most part, I don't want to say 100% because I still don't like some of these people they continuously like artificially throw in your face for no good reason at Wizards, other than political correctness or whatever. They get talent. They actually get people with genuine talent and get them on the camera and get them out there doing real Magic commentary.
I'm not there.
Say what? You aren't there. It would be good if we could get in there. We should let them know, like, hey, with the quality casting like Uz and Haze, and what does that card do? And I thought that card had flash. Like, comments like that will definitely get us right on the broadcasting scene at Wizards of the Coast.
I have a general knowledge of the cards that I play.
Well, when I play the card, I usually read the words, but not every time.
Explains your cheating habits.
Well, let's call it unintentional. This card does this, right?
Yeah, totally. That's why it's not in English, so we can all just agree on whatever you said, because you're the head judge.
I always make all my cards in English, and if someone sits down and we read them, I always change my understanding of the card. So anyway, these Legacy GPs, I was about the value of some of the cards, and he's like, yeah, it looks like Force of Wills are finally crawling back up. But like the Eternal Master ones are even higher than the original printings. And I'm like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. He's like, yeah, there's going to be less of them out there. I'm like, it just can't be. That card's like 18 years old. Like, even if they originally printed more at the time, like, stuff gone and lost to ages and stuff. Like, oh, that's where it is. So, I don't know. We were looking at a lot of cards and how the prices bottomed out in a lot of areas. And I'm just really, really need Legacy to take off as a format and bring all those prices up.
I didn't even bother with the Eternal Masters because, other than two or three cards, I really don't care.
Well, I haven't bought any. I don't really plan to. So, because when I look through the spoiler, there's not anything in there really that I don't have. With a couple of rare exceptions. Like, I don't have a Mana Vault. I think that was in there, right?
I don't know. Maybe it was Mana Crypt.
Mana Crypt.
I have a Mana Vault. They're not that expensive.
Yeah, like, other than Mana Vaults, or sorry, Mana Crypts, I have most of these cards. Like, I don't have a black bordered Ashenon's Altar, but okay.
I do.
I can.
Oh, wait, no, that's white bordered.
Yeah, they're white bordered. Like, what am I worried about here, right? Like, I've got all the rest of these. Now they go and they print something sweet that I don't have, maybe I'll be slightly more motivated to get it. I guess technically I don't have any Dak Fadens, but whatever.
You can still get those in Conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. I've got numerous. Actually, I might have Dak Fadens, actually. I bought a lot of Conspiracy.
Have you opened them yet?
Some.
Draft them. They're so much fun to draft.
Well, that's why we have them. We have at least one draft kit ready to go. But yeah, we did a lot of
do it now
drafting. I don't have like six friends that I want to draft with. And you weren't in town for very long, so.
And whose fault was that?
Yours?
You left? No, it was my sister's.
Okay, hers.
Yep.
Somebody's.
Because she didn't want to stay longer.
Yeah. Anyway, long story short, kids, go spend your money on Legacy cards and start getting into Legacy decks so I can sell my cards and get out of Legacy.
But just buy cheap ones so that way Samus doesn't have any money to make from it.
Yeah, thanks. So let's look at Modern. Oh, you know what? Should we? No, we're just going to keep burying the lead. That's what we're going to do. So let's look at this sweet deck list I sent you, Travis.
Okay, where is it at?
It's in the show notes.
Oh, that one that you just highlighted?
Yes, the one that I just highlighted so you could find it and see it. It's on MTG Goldfish, and they have an instant deck tech on it, so you can watch the little video later, Travis. Or you can just read it. But this is very similar to something that I kind of was kicking around a while back on the show, I think. with a few exceptions here or there. And it takes advantage of this card, Eerie Interlude, from Shadows Over Innistrad, which I think is a powerful card that really didn't have a reason to see play until you look at this deck. And then you look at this deck, and it does so much crazy shenanigans with these mass blink effects that people are just going to be like, wow. So this deck list, in a nutshell, Birds of Paradise, Wall of Omens. So Bird of Paradise obviously is a classic mana accelerator. Wall of Omens draws a card when it enters the battlefield. It has one white mane lion. I don't know why there's just one. There probably is room for a second.
I hate cats.
I dislike cats and dogs that trip you, but
says the person who has 8 ankle biters.
I don't have 8 ankle biters.
Okay, 5.
I have 4 dogs.
And they're all ankle biters.
None of them have ever bitten an ankle, as near as I can tell.
Well, they're called ankle biters because, well, they don't go above the knee.
That's probably true. All right, so white mane lions. Eternal Witnesses, 2 Eternal Witnesses, 4 Flicker Wisp, which is another card I thought that had flash and doesn't. 4 Kitchen Finks, 4 Restoration Angels, 4 Siege Rhinos, and then 1 Stonehorn Dignitary.
Yes. That's the one, when it comes into play, your opponent skips their next combat.
Correct.
The card is awesome.
I mean, it makes sense why it's in this deck, especially if you have all these flicker slash return to hand effects. But I don't know. I think in this case, I'd rather just have a second white mane lion. But also runs Aether Vials, Path to Exiles, Eerie Interludes, as I mentioned. And, of course, the mana base, the sideboard, and explosives, Abrupt Decays, Golgari Charms, Resties, Eidolon of the
Rhetoric.
Thank you. I know that word, but it's not coming to me. An Orzhov Pontiff, Reclamation Sage, Sin Collectors, and Thrag Tusk. So basically, as near as I can tell, the idea is to play a Siege Rhino
and Thrag Tusk. That should be main board.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because it does gain you life when it enters the battlefield. Oh, I guess it just says leave. I thought it was a die trigger.
Yeah. Like, it gains you 5 when it enters, and then when it leaves, you get a 3/3.
I thought it was a die trigger to make the 3/3, but it's just leave the battlefield. Yeah, you could probably slide that in.
In exchange for 2 paths to exile.
I don't know
about that. Find a Stonehorn Dignitary.
Yeah, you could cut the Dignitary, I think, pretty easy for that. You could probably go down a Flicker Wisp also. But no, I like this idea. This is another one of those decks that I kind of saw it and got excited because, one, I have most of these cards. I don't have 4 Restoration Angels. But the rest of these cards I think I have floating around. If not, Wall of Omens got reprinted in Eternal Masters, so I should be able to find them pretty easily.
Yeah, they've had like 3 different printings.
Yeah, they're around.
They're a pretty solid card.
And, you know, this Eerie Interlude, I think, is a good card to just mess with right now in this format. Like, someone attacks you, right? You attack with your Siege Rhino, and you have, like, a Kitchen Finks and maybe a Flicker Wisp or something, right? So, like, you cast Eerie Interlude, blink the Rhino, blink the Finks, blink the Flicker Wisp. So, Siege Rhino comes back into play, Kitchen Finks comes back into play. Flicker Wisp comes back into play. So you gain 5 life. They lose 3 life, right? And then you Flicker Wisp the Siege Rhino. And then, boom, Siege Rhino goes off again. And he can still attack because it's on their attack step or whatever. Like, so much value. I don't know. Let alone if you have, like, a Restoration Angel. So you, like, have a Rhino. You have a Restoration Angel. You Eerie Interlude, boom, Siege Rhino triggers again, your Restoration Angel, the Siege Rhino again. Like, that's just like a crazy swingy. Like, that's the kind of stuff that really gets me going. I don't know. I think this deck has got a lot of raw potential. Whether or not it can live through or deal with something like a, I don't know, a to the gills, cranial plating up. What's the 2/2 that Metalcraft, that becomes a protection from everything? Basically everything colored.
I can't remember. It's I don't like play Affinity.
I don't know. All I know is that guy beat my butt a couple of weeks ago at the Modern tournament because I couldn't deal with it because I couldn't draw a 3-drop.
And that's where this guy comes in.
There you go. Your Bringer of Silence. So anyway, I thought it was a cute little deck, and I thought I'd throw it out there for people to look at. It was a little pricey on the...
Well, it's only $900.
Yeah.
You guys got this. I believe in you.
I mean, again, it may not be the best deck for you to run out if you don't have any Modern cards, but if you have a couple of these things and you've been playing for a little while, I think
like the expensive ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Birds of Paradise. If you guys don't have Birds of Paradise, it's one of those cards that you should probably grab a 4 of. They're going to be a staple. Same thing with Eternal Witness. Same thing as Kitchen Finks, Aether Vials. Like, those are the cards that you want to, like, work in your collection as much as possible. Things like all the fetch lands and all the dual lands that you can fetch with them.
Same thing. Just sold.
You just sold? Oh, that's right. You made a terrible mistake. Try to pay off your debts.
Yeah.
I remember.
Let this be a lesson to you, kids. Don't pay off your debts. Keep your Magic collection.
I was going to say don't have debts, but I can see.
No. Get all the debt you want. Just don't pay it.
Just don't pay it.
Yeah. Don't be ever, like the Lannisters.
Don't ever listen to Travis's advice. That's the second rule of this podcast. So we're going to continue to bury the lead.
36 episodes in, we finally get to this to the two rules.
That's right. So we're going to keep burying the lead, and we're going to get to the mailbag. Joe sent us a follow-up deck. First of all, he had a lot of comments over the last deck.
Okay.
It felt like we did an excellent job representing the deck, is how I took it.
All right, go on with some of them.
No, that's it. He just he appreciated the fact that we looked at his deck and that he's growing as a Magic player because of our comments.
Oh, okay.
He also felt like he gave me an aneurysm.
Also, he told me that I was a dick.
Well, it's not untrue.
I will completely agree with that. I prefer to think of myself as honest.
Also fine. All right, so this new deck list, 4 Angelic Purge, 4 Clash of Wills, 4 Reflector Mage, 4 Fleshbag Marauders, 4 Benthic Infiltrators, 4 exclusive Spellfist. That's not right, is it? Elusive. I thought it was evasive. Elusive. Is that what that says?
Yeah.
All right. English language can suck on my nuts. Elusive Tormentor, Mirror Mockery, and Evocation of Saint Traff. Now, he told me that he wanted to do this. He wanted to figure out a way to make the Evocation of Saint Traff work. I'm not sure this is it.
What do you think? Let me get to my messenger and see what all we discussed.
Cheats.
Yeah. Crap.
So basically, this thing has, I think it suffers from a similar case of a brewer issues, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure how to exactly put this together. I think it comes across you get too far away from... You start getting too cute. There we go. That's what I want to say. And I feel like this has that. So, like, what do you do before turn 2? You hopefully have your Clash of Will up. You play some tap lands.
Yep, pretty much.
But you don't really don't really do anything.
See, even, so when has,
even once you start getting things down, you still don't do anything. Now, there's a lot of cute combos in here. Reflector Mage and three is cute.
Right. Those two together are great. Oh, you attack me. Goodbye.
Right.
I feel that's a fun way to get rid of the board.
I mean, it can be quite good. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like you're doing an awful lot of stuff in here that just doesn't make any sense. Elusive Tormentor makes zero sense to me.
What are you talking about? You flip it over, right? You flip it over, and then you put the Invocation of Saint Traft on it. And then it attacks for zero. It can't be blocked. And it brings in a 4/4. And then you flip it over again, and they're taking at least 4.
So... you're spending card 4 mana to get 4 points of damage in.
No.
Maybe 8 points of damage. And... nothing.
See, there you go. I'm glad you're on track.
This doesn't make any sense. So, like, when I look at decks that I think the Evocation of Saint Traft should be on, I'm looking at things that run, like, the Fairy Miscreants.
Something with Hexproof.
Hexproof things would be fine. But I'm thinking, like, cheap, evasive creatures.
Like the Sky Spawner that he originally thought about.
The Sky Spawner costs 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about things that you can drop for the 1 or 2 mana.
Rattle Chains.
Rattle Chains would be fine.
Because you do it at the end of their turn.
You could do it at the end of their turn. That also could use it to, like, if you have another spirit that it's equipped on, you could save it a little bit. So, like, what's that little 1/1 flyer that comes into play, taps a guy?
Topplegeist,
yeah. So, like, that would be a fine card to have in here.
All right, plus, Joe. You already have an enchantment. Take out the Fleshbag Marauder, the Benfic Infiltrator, the Elusive Tormentor, and put in just a bunch of spirits.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Take out the Elusive Spellfist.
Yeah, because this card doesn't do anything. Like, yeah, I get it. He's playing evasive creatures that he can equip that have, like, a big butt, so it's harder to get rid of. But at the same time, you could just play something good, like...
You know what else is difficult to get rid of? Things that you put back in your hand.
Right. I agree.
Like, there's a... Like, okay, so there's that one white spirit that you can pay 2 and put target spirit back in your hand. So if you have,
just thinking about that.
If you have that with Rattle Chains and you're like, oh, that guy's going to die, but I don't want him to. And then, like, they target something else also. You can just bounce something and throw it back down and give other things hexproof.
Right. Like, I feel like this deck is similar to the mono white aggro, or not the mono white, the white red humans aggro deck. Except instead of having the red in there for the Bushwhacker, I think you run blue for things like Evocation and what is it called? I was just looking at it. The target creature's unblockable draw card sorcery.
Slip through space.
And, like, those things together, I think, make things happen. I don't know. My family's asking me what I want to eat for breakfast.
Breakfast at 1 p.m.
Well, I mean, that's what happens.
I ate my breakfast at 8 in the morning when the roofers decided to just start pounding on my roof for an hour and a half.
You could also run some cute things in here, like you can keep the bounce things going on with the Reflector Mage and the Mirror Mockery, but you could also run something like Harbinger of the Tide.
Yes. Because
if you want to go that way.
I mean, even just as a two of in the sideboard, so that way if they have something that's really terrifying, you can just throw it away for a turn.
Sure. That also lets you run like Knight of the White Orchard.
Yeah.
So you can tutor up your
Plains.
Your Plains, that's also an island.
Prairie Stream.
Yeah. So you have that. So you can like fix some colors. You can run a Kithion if you wanted to. Or like I said, we could go heavy on the spirits and run like the Toppelgeist and the Rattle Chains. There's other like good flyers in blue. Like if you wanted to go more heavier on the blue and lighter on the white, you could do that. Like I feel like there's a lot of really solid potential in here with this concept of Evocation plus Mirror Mockery that people just have never really thought about. But I think it really comes down to picking a theme and sticking to it, which is something that a lot of people are not good at doing.
And I especially think Mirror, like when I was playing with Mirror Mockery, it just ruined so many people because it was before this set came out. So, you know, everyone was still playing the Siege Rhinos and everything. And I always loved siding in Mirror Mockeries and putting it on their Rhino and just effectively making it a wall.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I like the idea. I think there can be some excitement here. But it's just, you got to figure out how you want to get things rolling, basically. And I do not know why the Gatherer refuses to sort things by converted mana cost for me today.
It hates you.
It does hate me. Because I don't like it either. I think it's a terribly designed website. It's literally one of the worst websites ever.
Shocking.
But yeah, I don't know. Overall, I think the biggest problem with this deck is everything. Like, its average converted mana cost has got to be like 2.4 or something, like 2.5. Well, he's got a couple of cheap things like Benthic Infiltrator and Elusive.
Yeah, but remember, we already took all of those out.
Sure, right, because they're terrible. Yeah. But I'm just saying,
take out all the creatures and all of the black and make it completely blue-white spirits.
Yeah, I don't think you want to be three color in this deck, unless it's going to be a color that you can, and you're going to build around Knight of the White Orchard, so you can fetch it with the White Orchard. That is the only reason I would splash a third color into this deck. I don't know. What do you think about that?
But Knight of the White Orchard is just white.
It is, but it goes in the lines.
Yeah, and then what? Get a splash for green?
Well, you can splash green, or you have the whites.
Right, but it's already blue-white.
I know, but
okay,
yes.
So how's that three colors?
Let me revise. If you were going to make it three colors, yes, you would go get the green. You would put green in this deck if you were going to splash a third color. Because you would want to be able to use the Knight of the White Orchard to thin your deck out.
Right.
Colors. Yes. If I was going to splash a third color, it would be green.
So I'm just confused as to where we got lost here.
I'm just saying, if you were going to have more than the two colors that is this deck, I would only splash what I could get with the
okay. Item,
in which case is green.
Okay. Okay. I saw the
derail. Came to the station, Travis, and it just like ran right into the wall and exploded, and you just like, I saw it. I saw it completely set on fire. You know what else could be really exciting with this deck as a possibility? You could run like some of the exploit creatures. right? So you can run like a Solemgar Sorcerer. That one's a little bit harder to kind of take advantage of with something like Mirror Mockery, but you could still probably take some sort of advantage of it. But you could run like the 1/4 that exploits the bounce a creature.
It's a 0/4.
A 0/4. Like, she would be good. She's always been good with Mirror Mockery. She's also good with Evocation of St. Taft.
Joe, that reminds me, you should make this Bant Assault Formation.
I don't think you want to make it too much crazy now.
I think you do.
I think you
stick. You got the Infiltrator. You got some. You got a 0/4 for one.
How we just took out the Infiltrators.
Yeah, but now we're putting them back in because Assault Formation.
No, like, no, please don't.
Trust me, Joe. When have I ever steered anybody wrong?
All the time. Hey, you know what would be worth splashing for in this deck if you were to splash the third color?
Assault Formation.
No, Altered Ego.
Oh, yeah. Have a really big Benthic Infiltrator.
Okay. Well, obviously, we're not going to get any use out of you for the rest of the year.
What are you talking about? That card would be great.
Obviously, you're having a seizure.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I'm just kind of looking through here. Since I can't get the Bloody Gatherer to work the way I want. But, like, if you were to make this all flyers, right? All your creature base being flyers. So you have things like the Topplegeist, the Rattle Chains, the 2/3 that makes the clues when you play a creature with Karuna Manifest 3 or less, Bygone Bishop.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else is like a good white blue flyer?
I think there's that spirit that whenever another spirit comes into play, you gain 2 life.
All right, let's just pretend that's a card. I don't even know if it is or not.
It is.
You have that, and then you have the Thunderclap Wyvern from Origins, right? And then, like, your other cards are Evocation and Mirror Mockery. Like, that's insane, right? Like, all my guys have one.
Apothecary Geist.
Okay. When it comes, that costs 4, right?
Oh, wait. Yeah, and it's when it enters the battlefield.
Yeah.
Okay. Not as good, but, you know, sideboard tech.
Isn't there, there's got to be, oh, we had the bounce guy, right? The bounce flyer. He's a 2/2 for 3. So you can, like, bounce your rattle chains around. And then, like I said, you also have, you know, if you wanted it, you could have the counterspell exploit guy. You could also run the morph counterspell guy. So you have some options. But my point is that you could do some really sick things if they all have flying with the Flying Lord.
And Drugstall Cavalry.
And Evocations. I don't know what that is.
It's the 7-drop 4/4.
Oh, okay.
Whenever another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 2.
That guy costs more than 3.
Yeah, but you can still pay 4 and make a spirit.
Sure, you could have like 1. It wouldn't be a big deal. Like 1 or 2. Like it's a late game, like get, you know, if the game turns suddenly terrible, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
Just to like draw your 1 of this or whatever.
The Moorland Drifter.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's some options. I think he's probably on to something. It's just a matter of what exactly. This could also be a deck that runs, like, 1 or 2 Anafinza Kintry Spirits.
That could be fun.
I said I think I like the idea best of getting everything off of the ground so everything has flying and usually the Flying Lord. Because again, if you get a Mirror Mockery on a Flying Lord and all of your guys have flying, you just get some sick beats in. You know, plus of course the Evocation makes a flying creature.
And instead of Angelic Purge and Clash of Wills, you should put in
Good creatures.
Always watching.
Yeah. Always watching would be a good card in this deck. Stratus Dance, the card I was looking for earlier.
Stratus. Oh yeah, that's an alright card. It's a counter spell.
Yeah, it's a counter spell that flies. And it triggers leadership, so you draw cards.
No. Okay. I saved it. My computer attempted to restart to update.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, I guess we can't bury the lead anymore. Anyway, let's just summarize this mailbag from Joe by the deck is really solid if you keep Mirror Mockery and Evocation
and just start over.
Have all new cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, all new cards after that.
So we liked 8 of the 60 you gave us. That's not true.
I liked Reflector Mage too.
Well, I mean, that's going to stay regardless. Okay, so we like 12 of the 60. So
I don't know if you play Reflector Mage if you go heavily on the Flying Lords.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know. Maybe that's
You just take out the other removal, the Purge and the Clash. Take those out and then have the rest of the stuff be creatures.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm excited for this. I might build this, actually. Like, I think this has got a lot of raw potential to it. That could be a lot of fun. Even though it doesn't matter, Standard is dead. Basically, there are no more Standard. Anything really is going on between now and the release of the Eldritch Moon, which we have our first spoiler. Our first spoiler came out today.
Oh, wow. Title of the show. What? Title of the
show, yeah. Look at us. And they I think it was the Big Mama, right?
Yep.
The Promised End. This has got a lot of work on it, folks, so bear with me because this is probably going to be terrible.
Or I'll just read it so it's not.
Oh, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that?
So, Emrakul, the Promised End, it costs 13. It's a 13-13. Man, this needs to go with Triskaidekaphobia. I wonder if there's any coincidence there. Emrakul, the Promised One, costs one less to cast for each card type among cards in your graveyard. When you cast Emrakul, gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. After that turn, that player takes an extra turn. And then it also has some other irrelevant thing like flying, trample, and protection from instants.
Right. I mean, I think those things are all important, but I don't know. It's weird. So this thing, go ahead. Tell me your thoughts on it.
I was going to say, when I first saw this, I was just like, oh, man, Gather the Pact and Pieces of the Puzzle just got really good. So Gather the Pact, it costs 2 mana. You reveal the top 5 cards of your library. You put a creature from it into your hand, the rest of your graveyard.
Right.
If it's Spellmaster, you can put 2 creatures in your hand. And then Pieces of the Puzzle, it costs 3. You reveal the top 5. You put up to 2 instants or sorceries in your hand, the rest in the yard. So if you just fill your deck with like all of the different types of things, Emrakul could come out really quick.
Not really that many, right? Artifact, we can't have conspiracies. Creatures, enchantment.
Artifact.
Keeping track. Artifact, creature, enchantment, instant, land, planeswalker, sorcery. That's it, right? Those are all the ones that are like standard legal.
Yeah. Planeswalker, enchantment, instant, sorcery, land.
Because you have things like conspiracy, but that's obviously never going to come up.
Yeah, but still, I mean, 7 away from 13 is still a lot sooner than before.
That's true. If in this magical Christmas land you get all of them in your graveyard,
which is where I live all the time,
it seems good. My thinking is like you're more likely going to cast this thing for like 7,
right, and then play a Bushwhacker,
maybe. And basically, I think the real part of this card is, you gain control of the opponent's next turn, and then they take another one. Mm-hmm. So it's like you you mess them up as bad as you can, and then they get another turn to fix it.
Right.
And then you can finally attack with this thing. So the question is, how badly can you mess somebody up in one turn, and then they get a turn to fix it?
Oh, I don't think you've ever seen me play Mindslaver.
Well, I got Mindslavered at this Modern tournament that we just did. And, like, it was bad. Like, and then my opponent clearly didn't play it to its worst possible potential. He tried, but he just, like, I saw it way worse than he did. And it just, I don't know. I was able to get through it because he couldn't repeat the slaver combo. So having one turn being slavered, again, it hurt. But then, you know, him taking his turn, which basically was like play a land, untap. And then my turn, I was able to fix it. It didn't hurt that bad. So I'm curious about, especially in standard, how bad can you make something hurt by having control of them for one turn? So, like, you get a look at their sideboard, right? Okay. What else can you really do to get a big advantage by doing this? I think this them getting to take an extra turn really hurts it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's not really any sorceries that kill anything right now. At least nothing that's big.
Right.
So, like,
I'm just trying to run through the different decks right now that would have any sort of answer for an Emrakul right now.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's protected from instance. So, like, let's just kind of look at it here. You take control of their turn, right? And you burn an instant on one of their creatures or whatever they have in their hand, or their sorcery more preferably, right?
Right.
Burn their sorcery on killing one of their own creatures. And then you send their best creature into Emrakul during combat.
Right.
And then, like, it doesn't even matter if you tapping them out doesn't do anything. So then, hopefully they don't have Reflector Mages or Bringer of the Tides.
Yeah, but even if they do, you play them and choose not to use their abilities. Because they're both May abilities.
Okay. So let's just say that you know, works out that way. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like, don't get me wrong, I think this card is good. I just don't think this card is like the, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Like
Siege Rhino was like, oh, I don't feel like this card is like the Siege Rhino. The other two Eldrazis in standard, I still felt like they were like, wow, you know, this card just feel is wow to me. And this is supposed to be the big mama.
Well, I mean, and you also got to think, you know, this is still just the first card that's previewed. You know, we just got this card today, so whether or not they're going to have some other things that interact with it is going to be like a whole another issue. Plus, it brings forth the greatness of our subtitle, which, Triskaidekaphobia, boom. Simultaneously best and worst, 13. Let's do it.
All the 13s. I don't know. I'm looking forward to hearing what some of the other people taking a look at this card say about it. Because currently the way I see standard, I don't see this thing being the big mama of greatness. Now,
right, Ulamog is definitely more powerful. As an individual card, Ulamog is more powerful.
Right. which seems wrong to me. I think that Emrakul should always feel like the big mama that it is. And maybe they're going to do something crazy and they're going to have two Emrakuls. And this is the promised end, and they'll have something else like, you know, the new beginning or something. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. All right, you know what? Let's move on.
Okay.
What's left in the show notes?
Absolutely nothing.
We're going to play this game.
All right.
Let me share my screen with you. So what I have found is a game called Which Hall of Famer Are You?
Oh, sweet.
And there's a couple of questions here. I don't know exactly how many, but I figure we can go through and play this game. So, Travis, how do you prepare for a tournament?
I sleep.
Well, there it's a multiple choice, so please don't get too excited.
Oh, right. I have to actually do this.
I do some serious testing with my friends, preferably in a shared house. I grind away the moto cues and attempt to perfect my draft strategy and iron out my sideboard choices. I read as many metagame breakdowns and deck texts as I can. I watch Magic on Twitch and YouTube and incorporate the streaming results into my testing. Because I'm over the last one.
I was like, well, I don't do any of those, so let's go with the last one.
Okay. What kind of deck do you usually play? I play whatever deck does the best in testing. I play a deck that's targeted at the most popular decks. I play something that's unexpected. I play a net deck, or I play a fun deck. Like, I feel like the unexpected is most likely the best answer for us, but I could also see this last one.
Let's go unexpected.
All right, that's what I think. What playmat do you use? I generally use a Game Day Champion playmat. I use a customized playmat featuring a scene of my own design. I issue 300-year-old Shakespeare script. The laminated deed to my house, I don't use a playmat.
The first one.
You use a Game Day Champion mat? I have a customized playmat that I use that is like currently the modified opening of the archer scene, or I have a archer design. So yeah, we'll use this Game Day Champion just for you. Don't yawn that big in the camera, buddy.
I wasn't talking, so it was on you.
I'll make me yawn, and then you yawn, and you yawn, and you yawn.
Ha ha,
you yawn again. If planeswalkers were real, who would you most like to hang out with? Talbot, Nicol Bolas, Ajani Goldmane, Vraska, Jace, or Zinigos?
Well, we obviously have to go with our Lord and Savior, Nicol Bolas.
I don't think so.
Fine, Tybalt.
I also don't think so.
Nope, then the rest are garbage and you're wrong.
I think I would want to hang out with Vraska.
How can you say no to that sweet suit that Tybalt has?
I mean, Vraska is super hot, but I would agree that we could go Nicol Bolas. But I think my first would be Vraska. If I'm going to hang with somebody who's not my wife, it'll be her.
Yeah, Nicol Bolas is our Lord and Savior, though.
What is the luckiest thing that has ever happened to you? I won the credit card game 17 times in a row. I once hit all of my land drops to turn 5 without flooding out. I once made a 7-letter word in Scrabble. I bought some Bitcoin on a whim and when they were new and forgot about them for years. I cracked a playset of Steam Flogger Boss at the Future Sight pre-release. I actually think I did, to be honest. I have a bunch of Flogger Bosses.
I think it'll just have to be the second one because I've never done any of the other things.
All right. What's your favorite deck in Modern?
What?
Infect, Storm, Temple, Boggles, Affinity, Mono Blue, Anti-Magic, Jund, Oath of Druids.
Let's go with Jund because the rest of those are garbage.
Okay. I would say of this list, I like this Affinity thing that I'm working on. I don't know if they would consider it Affinity.
Yeah, but it doesn't have goblins.
Oh,
goblins.
If you're walking down a country road and you happen across a bird with a badly broken wing chirping mournfully, what do you do? You are 3 hours from the nearest town and only have a machete in your possession. Well, why am I cheerily walking down a country road 3 hours away from the nearest town?
Well, why are you doing that with a machete? And how big is this bird that you can't just step on its face? You have to chop its head off with a machete.
Anyway, let's... wow, this question is a bit dark, isn't it? I'd walk on by. There's nothing I can do for a bird with a broken wing. I pick it up and take it with me. There's a chance it could be saved. I put it out. It's a misery. It's only the humane thing to do. I'd go around. I'd turn around and go back the way I came. Whatever hurt the bird could still be out there.
I'd put the bird out of its misery because...
I also agree.
If I'm 3 hours away from the nearest town and I'm walking, man, I'm going to be hungry, so I'll just eat the bird.
No, you have preparations.
Oh,
say that in the question, but obviously you have a Snickers or something, a couple of Snickers.
Well, fine then. I guess I will still just put it out of its misery.
Yeah,
I don't understand why I have a machete though.
Because snakes.
Well, snakes don't have machetes.
They have guns.
Oh, so
at least you're armed with a machete in the event that a snake rolls up on you with their 9.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird
question. I would agree that you could put it out of its misery. I'd also say that I could walk on by because Mother Nature will take care of it. Like something's got to eat.
And by that, you mean, something else is going to be like, sucks to suck.
Right. So, yeah, I would agree. I could do this, but I could also just move by that, you know, because its calls will probably call in a predator, and so that predator will be able to eat. So hopefully the predator will be able to find it that way. So let's see who we are. We are the Chapin. Yeah. We could have had worse results. I feel pretty good. I like him. Did you watch him in the documentary?
Yes.
I thought it was really good. I really liked him for a long time, and I remember watching that heartbreaking loss, when he was playing for Pro Tour, whatever, several years ago with the Dragon Storm deck.
I don't remember that.
Oh man, it was heart crushing. I don't know. It was great. So pretty excited. I thought that was a fun little diversionary game. What do you think, Travis?
It was definitely a game. I always like those things.
Yeah, something a little different. Anyway, I'm Samus. He's Travis. We appreciate you listening. You can of course check things out at samusgarobo.com or of course mtgcast.com. You can send us an email just like Joe did at the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. You can check us out at twitch.tv/samusgarobo, twitter.com/samusgarobo, or twitter.com/turtlepower3019. That's it. I think that's the show this week, Travis. Do you have any closing thoughts for us, my friend? Or are you just gonna be like, nope, troll on, bitches?
Like, you know, sometimes you just gotta do the thing.
Okay.
Yep.
How about a 30-second review of the Ninja Turtles movie, the new one?
Oh, I don't know if I can do 30 seconds, but I can definitely tell you that I enjoyed it a lot more than the first one.
I thought the first one was okay, but I liked the second one quite a bit. Okay,
so my issue with the first one was, did you see the Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield?
Yes.
Same plot.
We've had this discussion.
And it's just irritating. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we have. But
it's a popular modern day villain plot, right?
Yeah, it's a garbage plot.
I agree. It was a little lame that they used that. I also didn't care for it in Spider-Man 2.
Whichever.
Which I don't know.
But no, I definitely like how they did Bebop and Rocksteady because, well, the creators of the Ninja Turtles absolutely hated them. Bebop and Rocksteady? Yeah, they didn't want them in the cartoon at all. Okay. Because they just thought they were just awful characters. So them having the input with those characters and making them be, no, these dudes have to be the absolute worst characters ever made, kind of made them better to me.
I thought they were great. Like,
oh yeah, they were awesome.
I've never been a huge Up and Rocksteady fan, but they were perfect in that movie.
Yeah, 100%. Like, perfect. They absolutely captured the idiocy of criminals of that mind state.
Right. To me, I think the only bad thing about the movie, there are probably two things I didn't like about the movie. The worst thing I thought about the movie was how they used the Shredder in the movie. Like, they propped him up as this huge villain, and that this huge, you know, all this amazingness was going to happen. And then they didn't do anything with him for the whole movie. Well, I didn't care for that.
That's how things always happen with Krang, though. Like, he always just like, no, okay, Shredder, I'm just gonna use you for my own gain. And sure. Then once your time has expired, you're just out of here.
But what I mean is, like, he just didn't do anything. Like, he had like four scenes basically through the movie, and I just felt like They could have worked things around in a way where he wasn't involved.
Right.
The other thing I really didn't care for was the how they dealt with the Krang situation. Like, I really wanted them to, like, do something where they sent the Technodrome down to the center of the Earth or whatever, right? Like, buried it underground and basically trapped Krang down there. Like, I felt like that would have been a really sweet homage to both the original comic books series
and the cartoon.
Like, that would have just been really great.
Right.
Now they could have done other things with it. They could have used, like, the current comic book run or whatever, and kind of used kind of things that go through there, but they didn't.
They couldn't, because they don't have the rights to Batman.
Now have rights to bat. I don't understand that.
Currently, they are in a 6-part series where Krang sent them to Gotham City.
Oh, okay. Well, yep. I'm not that caught up. I got everything caught up. I think I was like probably 6 months behind or something.
Okay. So. Yeah. So IDW and DC teamed up together. So that way, the Ninja Turtles could be sent to fight the better Iron Man, known as Batman.
Whatever. No, whatever. All right. So basically, go watch it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. You should definitely watch it. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You could clearly see the difference between Michael Bay movie and somebody who... Oh, I better...
Make it early lunch, late dinner.
Okay.
Like, I'll be late. I muted him. It took me too long, but I got Travis muted. I've unmuted you, Travis.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Go see the movie.
It took me a minute. So yeah, check out the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. If you have a lot of love for the original Ninja Turtle cartoon, I think this did a really good job of bringing that actual cartoon to big screen.
Well, see, and I also really enjoyed that in these films that they were able to throw so many Easter eggs into the show that took a hold of all of the comic or all of the different cartoon series that they've had, the other movies and the comics. Like, they were able to just throw so many Easter eggs in.
Well, I'll tell you that I thought they did a great job with that. Something else that kind of come to mind that my wife didn't care for is she doesn't like how monstrous the turtles look. I've never asked you, but what do you think of that? Like, compared to the comic book series or the cartoon or even the original set of movies, like,
so,
continuing the Michael Bay trollish turtles, what do you think?
So if you go off of the original comics,
mm-hmm.
all of the turtles, they looked incredibly mean, and they were incredibly violent. Because, right. well, they were trained in a martial art that is specifically designed to kill. And the only reason they looked childish in the cartoons was because they were trying to stray away from the violent nature of ninjas. That's why even at the end of like the first series, like season 5, I think it was, Michelangelo didn't even carry any weapons. Like he had a grappling hook that looked like a turtle shell. So I like the fact that they look, well, number one, mutated. And they're also still very violent.
Well, see, when I think about the original run that came out, they looked closer to like what they showed in the comics or in the cartoon or in the first movie than these do. Like, this is definitely several steps past that.
Right. But what I really like about these new ones is each turtle, you can tell which one they are, even if they don't have their masks on. You can just tell by their body size and their posture. Like, you wouldn't even have to hear them talking or see them carrying any weapons. You could just look at them and be like, okay, no, that dude's kind of scrawny. He's definitely Donatello. That dude's bulky and, you know, he's, well, like the cartoon song saying, he's a tough guy, a bit rude and crude.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I really like him. I don't know. I see that as a, for people who didn't grow up with the comic books and just watching the cartoon, and that's where their love comes from. I could see that complaint of they made them monstrous for no real reason or whatever.
Well, there's even that, I think it was a 2000 series that they turned them all into monsters. And I think at one point, Raphael was a robot.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's some crazy crap going on. But, I mean, they're mutants.
Yeah, yeah. Go check them out. It was good. It was a good time. I thought everyone did a really good job. Jason Mel, Megan Fox, I thought they all did fine. All did a good job. And Travis doesn't always care for that, but I don't know.
I mean, if they really wanted to go back to the comics, then they should make April O'Neil black like she was intended.
Okay.
But they're not going to do that because she was whitewashed.
I don't have any real comments on that, so.
But she was modeled after Eastman's girlfriend, who was black.
I don't know. You've now crossed my turtle knowledge barrier. Like I can go to some of the original cartoons with you, or not cartoons, the original comic books with you. Like for the first year or so, the original Turtles. But then after that, I'm pretty done.
Right.
I can't roll down to, oh yeah, we wanted April O'Neil to be black, and we liked the fact that all the turtles had matching red bandanas, and you know the Foot Clan should all been robots the whole time.
Nope.
Just end the show now.
Oh okay.
Now's the time.
Oh all right. Dory dies at the end. Troll on.
Troll on, everybody.